All right, to get to know me, you'd know that I have a little bit of a goofy streak in me. And my family can attest to that. I am a big goofball. My mother, her name is Holly, and she was born December 20th. And in the 1 year, just being my goofy self, I was working with her in the barn. Every morning, I'd get into the barn. We'd have this little banter we'd go through, and I'd get into the barn and I'd say, "Happy birthday, Mom." And she's like, "Yeah, but it's not my birthday." And I'm like, "Well, I didn't want to procrastinate." Well, coming around in January, and my dad was driving around with me, and he said, "You know, your mom's a little upset with you, right?" I'm like, "Why? What did I do now?" And he's like, "You know what? The only day of the year you didn't say happy birthday to your mom was on her actual birthday." Now, this is something like we say happy birthday is so important to say on the day. But when we say Merry Christmas, we don't have to wait till Christmas. It's something we can do. We can say for a month long to everybody we see, Merry Christmas. In fact, you know, when I think about it, that's one of those things that we really need to say with gusto. You love the old Christmas movies, right? You know, think about the Christmas Carol, and Ebenezer goes from Bah Humbug to Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And you think about, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, and it ends with you just running around yelling, Merry Christmas, everyone. As Christians, we've been given the commission to go into all the world, right, and preach the good news. We're called to do the work of an evangelist. And I think this time of year, it's like every time we say that, we're evangelizing. We're preaching the good news. We're saying happy birthday to Jesus, even as we share that Christmas joy. We say Merry Christmas. So like Adam said, we're going to be practicing Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. We got to say it with gusto like we believe it. It is a merry time of year. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And we've been talking about these past couple of weeks. And I always like to kind of go back through. I hope that you have not only been listening to and enjoying the messages that we've been sharing, but kind of thinking how to put them into practice, listening to Christmas music, focusing on the words. In fact, I was doing that in the barn the other day, just listening to the lyrics, and one of the songs that we actually sang this morning hit me. And it's like, the soul felt its worth. You ever think of that? That at the moment we realize how much God loves us, that Jesus left heaven's throne and took on humanity, came to a broken world, born of a virgin in a stable and humble circumstances. To understand that message is the point in which our soul feels the very worth that God gave us. We talked about giving gifts and the idea of we have the greatest gift, our salvation. Jesus gave his son, gave his life for us in order to give us eternal life. And we give gifts to one another out of the goodness that God has given us. And today I want to talk about the luster of light. Thinking about it, one of the things I love about Christmas time are the lights. Actually, my wife and I and my son, we went shopping last night, doing some Christmas shopping. And on the way, we were just picking out all the houses that had lights. You ever do that? Just drive around one of those simple pleasures and look at the beauty of lights. And I want to talk about how that's significant to our faith, to Christmas time, as we talk about that. I'm going to start off by reading the same passage as last week, but looking at it from a little bit different angle. In Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like I said, last week we talked about how they brought their gifts to him, but I want to focus on that star. You know, that first announcement that Christ had come into the world, like newborn king of the Jews and the wise men who followed the star. And I like to think about it as I look at the Christmas lights and the decorations, you know, always trying to bring everything back to the story of Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, and seeing each one of those lights, the stars on top of the tree being a symbol of that star that the wise men followed. The glittering lights on the tree like stars in the sky. And thinking about that idea of light, that we are in a kingdom of light, that the light of the world came. Jesus is that light of the world. And it's especially important, I believe, so much even more so, because we are living in dark times. December 21st is the shortest day of the year, the darkest day of the year. But I also believe that in the culture in which we live, it is dark times, which is why it is even more important to think about the light of Christmas. And I want to think about all the ways in which light brings value to our life. In this story, we're reminded that light leads. The wise men asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The wise men followed that light. And think about it. If you've ever been walking through the woods at night, or walking in the dark, or you've gone camping with friends, who does everyone follow? The person with the flashlight, right? Because light leads. There's something about it. You know, in the Psalm 119, I believe it says, "Thy word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path." We are led by the light of God's word. We follow it. It gives us a light and an understanding. It pierces through the darkness. It gives us the ability to understand and to see clearly how to walk and live in this world. Jesus came as the light of the world. He came to those living in darkness, not only to rescue us, not only to save us, but to show us how to live. His life was that inspiration. It was that leading, that following. In fact, we are his disciples. I often, when I talk to people, I don't ask, "Are you a Christian?" Because I've realized almost everybody in America is a Christian, right? I ask, "Are you a follower of Jesus?" Because it's one thing to believe that God exists, to believe the Bible. I know a lot of people who believe the Bible but never actually read it. It's another thing to believe in Jesus, but it's something totally different to follow him, to follow the light of the world, to try to live your life like he did, to walk in faith, to do the things that he was called to do. You know, I love what the Apostle Paul told his followers, his disciples, the churches that he planted. He said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." He said, "Christ was the light that I'm following. I'm trying to be a light so that you can follow me, so that you have something to see, a visual representation." You know, and the beauty of it is, as followers of Jesus, you know, what it says about us in 1 John, it says that as he is, so are we in this world. You know, we follow the light of Jesus so that we can reflect that light. I was looking up that word of luster, the luster of light, and luster is really a shiny glow, a reflection. When we look into the beautiful light that is Jesus, into his love, we reflect that. Have you ever realized that and kind of, you know, assessed yourself and how you're living? I've realized that the times that I am most loving and most joy-filled and the best representation of Jesus are the times I spend the most time in his presence, thinking about and experiencing his love for me. When I experience his light, his love, his joy, all the goodness that he brings, I am able to then reflect it. If I try to be a good person on my own, in my own strength, out of my own inspiration or will. I can't do it. But when I look at the light of Jesus, I am led. I follow that, and it just kind of flows naturally from me. I tend to reflect it. We get to be mirrors. And so often, that's why it's so important to be careful who you spend time with. We tend to have a reflective personality. God gave us a bit of reflectiveness. And we are to reflect the glory of God to the world. But when we spend all of our time looking at brokenness, looking at problems, looking at troubles, looking at people who aren't glorifying God, it'll tend to rub off on us. We'll reflect that, what we tend to look at. It says, be careful what you see, little eyes, what you see. Because we tend to go towards what we're looking at. And so we look at light. Light leads us. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And we also have his word as a light, and I realize light warns us. You ever heard that saying, you know, we're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel? Just make sure that light at the end of the tunnel is not the light of an oncoming train, right? Sometimes we need a warning light in our lives. You know, when you're driving along and the light comes up on the dash. You know, anyone like lighthouses? They're a beautiful thing. My grandmother had decorations of lighthouses everywhere. And the purpose of a lighthouse is to mark out hazards. You know, when you're going through the darkness, we need a light to mark out hazards. What did Jesus really mark out the hazard of what we need? That in our own self, we are broken and sinful. Jesus came as a light to walk perfectly. He was without sin. You ever argue that point with someone? I've heard people say that, I don't believe Jesus was without sin. Then how can he expect us, call us to a higher way of living if he doesn't warn us and say, sin is bad, but there is a better way? That's what a lighthouse does. It says, stay away from this area. It is hazardous. It is dangerous. Walk in this. Follow the light that leads us. And think about, what are you following? Not just in this Christmas season, but what are you following? What is the light that you're looking at, that you're following? Does it warn you of hazards? And a lot of times, what we want to do, even as Christians, we want to be love, 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 and never warn. Never tell people, hey, there is a danger. You know, guess what? Sin is dangerous. It leads to death. It leads to brokenness. And sometimes we're like, oh yeah, just give me all the love, give me all the good things, but don't tell me about that. Don't tell me what I have to avoid. And yet there's that leading is also a warning. But light also creates beauty. And that's why we love the Christmas lights, right? Just the beauty of it. You know, I'll have to say, sometimes, depending on my mood, I can either be disappointed or a little critical. You ever drive along and you go down a road and it's like 3-4 houses in a row with no lights? That's just sad. But you love that one house that goes all out. All the bushes are decked, covered with lights, the outline of the entire house, everything. It is just beautiful. And we love the beauty of it. We go looking for it. Heck, now even today, you know, we pay money to just drive around in a circle where somebody else sets up a whole bunch of lights because we just want that constant light, the beauty of all the different decorations. But light is beautiful. Our faith is beautiful. Christmas is beautiful. I think about the beauty of light. I think about how God created it. In Genesis 1:3-5, it says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was good. It was beautiful. You know, I think about that and just the beauty of light. That when we decorate for Christmas, we're putting up beautiful lights. We're putting up these beautiful decorations. I think about the beauty of light. One of my favorite things is Aurora Borealis, the northern lights, and just that beauty that we admire. And I believe that even as we are called to think about Jesus, who is lovely, think about the story, which is wonderful, to live our lives as a life that is beautiful, that is pure, that is noble, that brings about just a joy in people's hearts. You know, light brings that. So why not decorate? Yeah, I think sometimes it's even that we put up the lights hoping that our neighbor will see them and kind of, you know, be inspired, right? You know, I just try to do more and more. Some people think about it as a competition, but I like to look at it as inspiration. You know, when we live lives that are beautiful, that are honorable, that are joy-filled, that create beauty in the world around us, and that's what we were created to do, right? We were created to make the world a better place, make the world a beautiful place, so that in turn we might inspire others to live their lives in such a way. Light brings inspiration. Now, I love what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Put so many lights on your house. Put so many lights on your bushes, on your trees. My wife has a collection of blow-ups, those Christmas blow-ups. And then you got ones, all the different ones, one where the deer actually put their head up and down. You know, put so many lights out. Make your house so beautiful that other people will glorify God. Other people will be inspired to say Merry Christmas. But not only that, don't stop there. This is just something I said, we're studying the Christmas season. What makes it the most wonderful time of the year so that we can keep that Christmas spirit throughout the whole year long, and to live such good lives among the others in the world, to let our light so shine that people will see our good deeds and glorify God. Don't just decorate your home. Decorate your life with good deeds so that your life is a light that inspires others, that gets others to glorify God. I think one of the best ways and best compliments we can get, because guess what? There are a lot of people out there who are Christian who aren't the best representation, whom non-followers of Christ can kind of pick apart. Although, and you've heard it, I've heard it. You know, people say, I won't go to church because church is full of hypocrites. I'm like, well, yeah, hopefully is full of broken people who are trying and know that they need to be better. But to live your life in such a way that other people are inspired, that say, listen, say what you want about the Christian faith, but that person genuinely tries to live it out. Live your life as an inspiration. Let your light so shine, not a little bit, not just a twinkle, so shine that other people will see your good deeds and be inspired to give glory to God the Father. That they will say, you know what, there's something to the way you live. I love what it says in 1 Peter. It says, set apart Christ in your heart as Lord and always be ready to give an answer for the people who ask. Because it already supposes that you are living such an inspirational life that people want to know the reason for the hope that you have in you. That your light should be an inspiration to others. Light produces joy. In our story, in Matthew 2:10, as they followed to that place where Jesus was, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Light produces joy. And I think we should be the kind of people who, when we walk into a room, we light it up. Have you ever known someone like that? When they walk into a room, they seem to light up the whole room. That kind of like you. There are two types of people in this world. You know, I love every person. Some people I love when they walk into a room, and some people I love it when they walk out. Right. But we're called to be the kind of people who, when we walk into a room, people will see our light and be overjoyed. The way the Magi were when they saw that star and it stopped, and like, we're here, we've arrived, this is it. Light produces joy. There's a countenance. When your face, when you smile, when you're happy, what is it? What do we say? That you light up. Your face lights up. Like a child at Christmas, and their face lights up. Isn't it beautiful how children bring us joy? They are that light and just that innocence, that purity, that excitement. And we are to bring joy. Light produces joy in our lives. The Christmas lights have that sense of joy. I don't think you can look too often at a Christmas tree that is well decorated and lit and glowing and shining and sit there and be sad. Unless there's something really broken going on in your life, there's something beautiful. I love Christmas trees. I love the lights. Lights bring joy. We think about all the ways that lights bring joy. What do we do for a birthday party? We light the candles. We want to turn off the lights and see that child's face glow in just the candlelight before they make a wish and blow them out. Light produces joy. Think about all the fun that we have in light, whether it's sitting around with friends at a campfire or a bonfire. Just that joy that you experience in light. And our lives are called to be a light. Jesus came, and we sing joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come. The light has come. And that's what we're to experience in Christmas time, but also to share in the most wonderful time of the year. Think about light and all the ways it brings joy. Candles, fireworks, rainbows, bonfires. I got to interject here. You know what happened to the rainbow that was arrested? It got sent to prison. It was a light sentence, but it gave it time to reflect. Come on, even those little corny little jokes. I told you I was a total goofball. But those corny little jokes, they bring a little bit of joy. We can maybe even groan, but we love them, don't we? It's that simple, pure, just delight. These little things, we don't have to get into crude humor to have a little joy and a little light in life. Light brings joy, brings laughter to our lives, and light overcomes. John 1:5 says this, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, or the darkness cannot understand it. And I think about that. I don't know if you've heard the story. A story about this professor who was an atheist, and he was trying to, you know, really downplay the Christian faith. And he asked a group of people, he knew the Christian faith was strong in his class, and he says, did God create everything? And a couple of students said, yes, he did. And he says, well, you notice if God created everything, there's so much evil in the world. And so, therefore, God created evil, then God must be evil. And of course, some of the students didn't know what to say, but a young student stood up and says, can I ask a question? And the professor said, yeah, sure. He goes, is there cold? And the professor said, of course there's cold. And he says, no, actually, there is no such thing as cold. Cold is only the word we use to describe the absence of heat. He says, we can measure heat. You cannot measure cold. You can just say it is less hot than it was yesterday. Today, this morning, though, I tell you, it did feel cold. We had to go out to the barn and put the space heater on for about a half hour. And even then, there was an absence of heat in the rest of the barn. Then the student went on to say, okay, professor, is there darkness? And he goes, yeah, when in the night sky you can see darkness. And he says, no. There is really no such thing as darkness. Darkness is merely the absence of light. You can measure light, but you can't measure darkness. The only way you can measure darkness is how little light there is. And he says, and in the same way, he says, there's not really any such thing in the context of evil. Evil is the absence of goodness, the absence of God. It's what happens in a world when God is taken out of an area, of a culture. When there's less of God, there is more evil. And to start to realize this, because it's so powerful to understand, light always overcomes. Even the smallest candle can pierce the darkness. Darkness can never swallow up the light of a candle. Darkness can never swallow up. In fact, we are called not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. To overcome. We are called to be more than overcomers. When we live our lives as light, there is no darkness that can quench it. When we live to be an inspiration, it doesn't matter what people say, they can't put out that fire. We let it burn brightly. There may be darkness, but in fact, the most amazing thing is that in the darkness, in the when it seems to be the darkest night, that's when even that slightest glimmer, the twinkle of one Christmas light, seems to burn more brightly. We take more notice. When in the middle of the day, you're not going to notice the lights as much, but in the darkness, that's when our light becomes most powerful, because light always overcomes. Jesus said, I am sending you out into the world like sheep among wolves, but the light always overcomes. Yes, you go into a culture, into your workplace, where people may not worship Jesus the way you do. They may not know the goodness of God. How much more powerful is your light if you are inspired and reminded, encouraged to burn brightly for Jesus? Because no matter what, every little thing you do, every word you say will be remembered by God. Every attempt you made to forgive, to love, to choose joy over discouragement, to show love even to the difficult people in your life, will be remembered, and it will overcome. As we're called to think about this, I want you to think every time for the rest of the year that you see Christmas lights, remember, they're symbolizing Jesus as the light of the world. And I want to go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is Jesus' words. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your deeds, your good deeds, and glorify your Father. Listen, you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. In each and every day of your life, you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill, and it cannot be hidden. People will notice. Jesus has lit your light, the light of your heart, giving you salvation, giving you a relationship with Him, giving you the gospel within you, putting His Spirit within you as a deposit for your eternity. And no one lights a lamp and hides it under a bowl. Jesus does not want you hidden under a bowl. He wants to put you on a stand so that you can give light to every person in the house in which God has placed you, to the circle of influence that God has you at, to the community in which you live and serve, in your workplace. God has put you there as a light, just as He is the light. Jesus said, as God has sent me, so I am sending you. I love the beauty of that. Think about it. God sent His Son to the world, and Jesus said, in the same way, I'm sending you. And I love Philippians 2, 13 and 14. The first one is what I want to tell my kids all the time. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. And it goes on to say, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Has anyone been paying any attention to these drones all flying all over the sky in New Jersey? It seems to be everything. I actually made the mistake and went down the social media rabbit hole last night, and it was very anxiety producing. Since everybody's talking about it, it's almost sad, you know, to spend more time talking about drones and thinking about drones than about Christmas. But I want to challenge you. See, as everybody's talking about, I want you to live your life like a light in the night sky in such a way that everybody is going to talk about it. not in a way that produces fear or anxiety, but in a way that brings about joy and inspiration that leads to others. We are called to be lights in the sky, not hidden. We cannot be hidden, not put under a bowl, but to live in such a way that we cannot be ignored, that people talk about us. Maybe they even hate on us because Jesus said if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us as well. But maybe because no matter what, they can't deny that what we say we believe, we actually live out. When we say we love, we don't just say it, we show it. When we forgive deeply and purely from it, wholeheartedly, even when we're wronged. Like Jesus told us, turn the other cheek. When he was on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can we say that in our own lives? Do we live our lives in such a way that people take notice and they can't ignore us? We've been given the greatest message that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And a world that so needs to hear it. A world so needs to hear that he came so that the souls of people would feel their worth. People need to know that they are valued and they are loved. And that is our commission, to be lights in this world. To be the lights not just in the Christmas season, but the whole year throughout. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the light of your love revealed to us in the Christmas season. That you loved us so much, you were willing to give your all for us, to rescue us, to redeem us, but also to come to show us how to live, that there is a way in which to live. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us anew and afresh with your Spirit. Fill us with the oil of your anointing, of your Holy Spirit in us, that we might truly be lamps that burn brightly, that our wicks would not go out, that we would not let the oil in of our souls run out, but that we would shine brightly for you. And give us the courage and the boldness to stick out like lights in the darkness. Give us the inspiration and help us to be even as we celebrate the light of the world. Let us be lights in our own way. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.